Welcome to our Blue Papers podcast edition. Blue Papers are our version of white papers here at 4imprint. They cover a wide range of business topics, all with an aim to help your organization succeed. This is episode number 124, Metrics and Measures. This episode is presented by 4imprint Incorporated, marketing associate, Guinevere Thompson.
Hungry for change? Learn about metrics and measures, the M&Ms of business, or the first course of change. Picture this. You're a CEO of a major corporation, and the board of directors wants a presentation on business trends and the impact to corporate performance. Here's the catch. You can't use numbers or financial data. Unless you have a crystal ball, this task would be impossible without using metrics. You need data and financial descriptors that highlight how the company is actually doing, and you need a process to analyze the data. And that's why you need measures, metrics, and outcomes. A measure is defined as an agreed-upon concept of quantification. You might, for example, evaluate the weather outside using a Fahrenheit scale versus Celsius. Some experts say that there isn't much of a difference between a measure and a metric, but a metric is subtly different in the sense it adds a goal or performance nuance to it. So you might say the freezing temperature is 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and that would be a metric. The difference is minor, and for that reason, the two terms are often used interchangeably. An outcome, on the other hand, refers to a conclusion reached through the process of logical thinking. Or, simply put, an outcome refers to how you use the data. In the case of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, you'll know you need to wear a down jacket. If you're one of those people that glaze over when someone starts talking about metrics, measurements, and outcomes, you're not alone. At the mention of measures and metrics, many minds fill with pages of numbers that may or may not hold the secret to financial stability, future profits, or market potential. Sometimes it's hard to know where to start. In this podcast, we're going to break it down for you. Let's begin with a basic definition of what we mean by metrics. Business metrics leverage numbers and facts that give insights to business performance, finance, and sales. Metrics help influence strategic planning because they give leaders quantifiable indicators rather than relying on a hunch or gut feeling. Metrics also help decision makers and business leaders plan and achieve long-term goals and objectives by providing a corporate roadmap of performance and sales. Simply put, metrics help monitor progress toward goals and expose inefficiencies across business functions. When implemented properly, they provide valuable insight for change and improvement. Metrics and measures can be applied to almost any facet of your organization. For example, you can track how much time an employee spends on a project for budgeting and resource management. Or you can measure the costs associated with marketing a product. Maybe you want to use data to uncover customer buying habits, satisfaction, and loyalty. Metrics can apply to stakeholders, customers, shareholders, or employees. They can focus inwardly on the performance of the company or outwardly on customer satisfaction and retention. There's no limit to what can be measured and tracked over time. However, to be valuable, you need to make a sense of the numbers and statistics and use them to apply business value. They should link to the strategic objectives of the business and tell you how the organization is really doing. When used effectively, metrics can help improve productivity and enhance strategic planning. The key is to identify measurements that are meaningful and apply them appropriately. Many companies launch measurement initiatives without a defined strategy, and that can lead to confusion. Knowing what you want to measure and why is a critical yet difficult task. Before we get too far, let's start with the metric types. You should gain a basic understanding of the different types of metrics, which can be categorized into five categories. The first category consists of financial metrics. They are the most common types of measures and focus on overall corporate performance. Two common financial measures are profits and loss. Organizations track these numbers over time to assess the overall health of a company. For example, Decreases in corporate profits can indicate signs of trouble, while increases may be an indicator of a longer-term success. Strategic metrics are the second category and are similar to financial metrics, but link directly to the strategy and goals of an organization. These metrics are often high-level and easy to understand. Senior leaders and shareholders use these types of metrics to evaluate customer retention, market share, and time to market. Third are operational metrics. They measure the efficiency and effectiveness of an operation or process. Think of operational metrics as those that measure the day-to-day tactical operations of the business. These types of metrics provide insight on how the business is actually running and provide a snapshot to monitor activity. Manufacturing companies use operational metrics to determine inefficiencies in the supply chain and to identify processes that can be improved. Call centers might use operational metrics to track average calls per hour or the percentage of successful customer interactions. The idea is to develop metrics that show how your business is operating on a daily basis. The fourth category is performance metrics, and these measure business contributions and performance across customers, shareholders, and employees. They can focus inwardly or outwardly, or can evaluate performance against customer requirements and value. Examples of performance metrics include customer satisfaction, productivity, and quality. Finally, metrics are also used for project management to check time, cost, resources, and actions across a project plan and budget. These types of metrics help identify areas for opportunity and improvement in project. They help determine where employees spend the bulk of their time and can assist with resource allocation and planning. But not only are different metrics used for different business units, you can also categorize metrics by business functions or process improvements. Efficiency measures refer to how quickly things get done. In other words, how many hours does it take to produce a product? What is the lead time between order and delivery? Similarly, quality metrics measure tangible data related to the quality of your product. For example, what is the rate of returned merchandise? Or, on average, how many defects are produced during manufacturing? Customer satisfaction measures apply to the customer experience. These measures focus on new customers, retention rates, or customer complaints. Anything that impacts customer satisfaction could be included in this category. Employee measures track employee progress and professional development. For example, what is your employee turnover rate? Or maybe you want to track the number of hours spent on professional development and training each month. These would fall under an employee measures. Finally, innovation and improvement measures track new products and improvement across the corporation. For instance, what percent of the corporate budget is spent on research and development? What percentage of sales is associated with new products? What improvements were implemented that led to cost or time savings? Phew, that's a lot of metrics. Now let's talk about how you should know what you're capturing and why. Peter Drucker, a well-known author and expert on business metrics, once said that, quote, "You can't manage what you don't measure." When it comes to metrics, you should know what you're capturing, why, and what you want to do with the data. True, you can't manage what you don't measure, but you also can't measure what you don't define. The biggest mistake organizations make is that they don't have a defined measurement strategy. They start collecting metrics that don't mean anything and waste time trying to make sense of data they never needed in the first place. Data overload is a common pitfall that can be avoided with planning. Avoid the measurement abyss by developing a solid plan for collecting, analyzing, and reporting measures. We've outlined steps to help, but there are a lot of other resources available, like the Society for Human Resource Management. It has spreadsheets and calculators that will help you make sense of some of your HR data. Or if you need basic training, the Association of Research Libraries provides online training on basic measurement tools and methods. There's also a ton of research and studies that can help you get started. A quick search on Amazon directs you to a number of resources, including a well-known book by David Parmenter called Key Performance Indicators: Developing, Implementing, and Using Winning KPIs. as well as the book by Wayne E. Eckerson named Performance Dashboards, Measuring, Monitoring, and Managing Your Business. And finally, if you're looking for an authority on metrics, Peter Drucker is considered an expert in metric management and has published many books over the years. Even with all those resources, there's a lot to consider. Measurement strategy best practices, for instance. In an article for Forbes, Justin Moore, CEO of Axient, provides sound advice for those starting a new measurement strategy. He said, "It's critical to choose the right parameters. Measuring the wrong metrics can do more damage than good. Getting too obsessed about the numbers can lead to bad decisions and make you forget about the human element, that you're managing people, not robots. And not measuring on at least a weekly basis can leave problems undiscovered until it's too late to course correct. But when you leverage metrics properly, they can be one of the most powerful ways to propel your business to success." Measurement strategies are often directed by top leaders in the organization and filtered down to business units. The top-down approach is effective in driving home the importance of a business strategy and helps ingrain it into the corporate culture. Sometimes the CFO of an organization is in charge of measurement strategies, while other companies place this task under human resources or strategic planning committees. Who will drive your measurement strategy largely depends on what you want to measure. Here's a step-by-step list of things to think about when developing and implementing a measurement strategy. Step 1. Define what you want to measure. First, define metrics based on business goals and objectives that relate to organizational strategy. In other words, what do you want to measure? To define what you need to measure, ask key questions. Look for metrics that have a business impact or will influence future performance. Here are some questions you should ask to clarify your measurement strategy. Question 1. What top factors will impact the business in the next year? Question 2. What are the revenue objectives, quarterly and annually? And question 3. What aspects of the business, for example, new customers, increased sales, or reduced time to market, will demonstrate success? It's also important to clearly define your metrics. Simply saying the goal will be to measure customer satisfaction is too vague. You need to outline how you will measure customer satisfaction. Is it the number of repeat customers? Or do you measure customer satisfaction by the number of first resolution calls in the call center? In short, metrics should be clearly defined so that almost anyone in the organization can assess progress and engage in the right behaviors to promote success. Step 2. Choose metrics wisely. It's critical to implement and select metrics that promote desired behaviors to achieve strategic results. As renowned metric expert John H. Lingle once said, quote, "You get what you measure. Measure the wrong thing and you get the wrong behaviors," end quote. So choose metrics wisely and measure outcomes that promote the right behavior. Using the call center example, say you want to measure customer satisfaction by the number of customer first resolution calls. But you need to make sure employees focus on quantity rather than quality. If the number of calls handled is an indicator of success, customer service representatives may rush calls in order to meet the goal. That could lower customer satisfaction in the long term. Therefore, it's imperative that you aren't measuring something that will produce undesirable behaviors that have far-reaching consequences. Step 3. Monitor, monitor, and monitor. Notice a theme here? An effective measurement strategy reviews metrics at regular intervals. You can't assess progress without regular tracking. It is also critical to create accountability and demonstrate a commitment to what you say you are going to do. Effective measuring strategies provide real-time feedback and are easily captured and monitored. There are a number of measurement tools and software applications that can help an organization extract and analyze data. You can even use office applications like QuickBooks and Excel. It doesn't have to be fancy, but it has to be consistent and real-time to be effective. Successful organizations use dashboards or monthly business reviews, abbreviated as MBRs, to track progress. Step 4. Evaluate and adjust. Evaluate and adjust metrics as needed to address any changes to the business or objectives. Any measurement strategy must be fluid. In other words, a measurement strategy has to be able to adapt to changes in the business and market. As priorities change, metrics change too. Refining metrics every week, month, or quarter helps you stay on track and ensure measurement of the right priorities. As noted by Axient CEO Justin Moore, when you invest time and thought into setting, monitoring, sharing, and refining your metrics, you'll be amazed at how much more in tune you are to the state of your business and how much more easily you can make the critical decisions that can catapult your business's success. And last but not least, step 5, communicate. Continuously communicate and involve all levels of the business in the measurement strategy. Capturing metrics is a fruitless effort if no one in your company knows how they're doing on a regular basis. Metrics should be shared across the organization to promote transparency and accountability. Dashboards are a good way to show weekly, monthly, or quarterly progress and should be displayed in a place that employees reference frequently. Whether it's a website or a weekly meeting, progress against goals should be displayed regularly. Business leaders in particular need to make sure they're promoting measurement strategies. The ability to walk the talk and share results goes a long way in showing employees that every level of the organization is committed to metrics and achieving the outlined goals. Successful companies share results from the top down, even if they fall short of desired goals. This shows commitment and transparency, and ultimately creates a cultural buy-in for measurement strategies. Once you define your measurement strategy, in other words, the nuts and bolts of the plan, it's time to consider what tools and methods might be helpful. You've probably heard of KPIs, balanced scorecards, and dashboards, but do you know what they are and how to use them? A key performance indicator, abbreviated as KPI, is a performance-based metric that evaluates the success of a defined activity. KPIs are applied to strategic or operational goals and are defined in a way that is understandable, meaningful, and measurable. KPIs should clearly link to the strategic objectives of the organization in order to help monitor business strategy. For example, let's say your company is focused on customer satisfaction and noticed a lot of complaints because of late deliveries. You might identify deliveries made on time as a potential KPI to improve customer satisfaction. The KPI would track the number of on-time deliveries and report those on a regular basis. KPIs differ depending on the business's area of focus. Let's review some of the more common KPIs by business function. For example, if you were interested in KPIs related to human resources, you might look at employee retention rates or the number of applications to job postings. If you were interested in KPIs related to purchasing, you might look at the percentage of on-time deliveries or the number of correct deliveries. What if you wanted to identify customer service KPIs? In that case, maybe you'd look at the number of customer satisfaction surveys that are completed or the number of complaints received. First call resolution rates is also a common KPI in call centers. To choose the right KPIs, you need a good understanding of what is important to the organization. Many organizations use a balanced scorecard framework to help identify valuable KPIs. What's a balanced scorecard, you ask? Well, it's a strategic planning and management system that is known for the ability to measure and manage corporate goals and outcomes. It was introduced in the 1990s, and in 2013, it was listed as one of the top 10 management tools by Bain & Company. As defined by the Balanced Scorecard Institute, a balanced scorecard is used to align business activities to the vision and strategy of the organization, improve internal and external communications, and monitor organization performance against strategic goals. The balanced scorecard was introduced by Drs. Kaplan and Norton in response to some of the limitations of previous measurement approaches. It provides a roadmap as to what companies should measure in order to obtain a more balanced view of the organization, It's more than a measurement tool. It's a management tool that enables organization to translate vision and strategy into action. As Kaplan and Norton describe in their book, The Balanced Scorecard. The Balanced Scorecard retains traditional financial measures, but financial measures tell the story of past events, an adequate story for industrial age companies for which investments in long-term capabilities and customer relationships were not critical for success. These financial measures are inadequate, however, for guiding and evaluating the journey that information age companies must make to create future value through investment in customers, suppliers, employees, processes, technology, and innovation. The Balanced Scorecard collects and analyzes metrics from four distinct areas: learning and growth, business process, customer, and financial. The corporate vision and strategy is the center of the scorecard, since everything that happens should link back to and support the corporate mission. The idea is to obtain a balance of metrics in these four categories to develop a more coherent picture of the organization. Financial metrics, while important, are only one of the pillars that can impact performance. Since the introduction of the Balanced Scorecard in the 1990s, it has evolved to include different variations. Most of the key elements remain intact, but recent versions include strategic mapping and/or strategic linkage models. The principles of the Balanced Scorecard in the four key areas, however, remain the same. A number of technologies have also emerged that claim to help organizations implement a Balanced Scorecard. However, it is debatable as to whether or not software can uncover the basic principles required for a Balanced Scorecard. According to the Balanced Scorecard Institute, quote, "The Balanced Scorecard is not a piece of software." And, unfortunately, many people believe that implementing software amounts to implementing a Balanced Scorecard. End quote. This is not to say that technology isn't helpful. Once a scorecard is developed and implemented, software solutions can be valuable ways to manage the approach. Overall, the Balanced Scorecard is the most popular measurement tool. According to research conducted by the Gartner Group, over 50% of large U.S. firms adopted a Balanced Scorecard approach since 2002. However, this number might be slightly misleading, since the term Balanced Scorecard is often linked to a variety of measurement tools and methods. Other research indicates that about a third of companies use a traditional Balanced Scorecard method, but only about a fifth of all companies use the most up-to-date versions that include strategy mapping. If the Balanced Scorecard isn't the right fit for your organization, no worries. Other tools are available. For example, picture the dashboard in your car. Maybe you reference it to check your speed or see if you're almost out of gas. At the very least, you notice warning lights that start blinking so you can avert a disaster. Performance dashboards provide a similar service, only on a much larger scale for corporations. A dashboard provides summarized data to show managers how fast they are working toward their goals, or provide alerts if the company is falling short of targets. Dashboards are usually customized to report what needs to be tracked most frequently. Generally, corporate dashboards are easy to read and provide a real-time user interface. They also provide a graphical presentation of the current status and historical trends of the organizational KPIs. It's common to see dashboards mirror traffic lights and note whether something is red, yellow, or green. A red light might indicate things are not going as they should, while a green light indicates a company is hitting targets. A manufacturing dashboard, for example, may show data related to the number of parts manufactured or the number of failed quality inspections per hour. Similarly, a dashboard in a human resources department might track KPIs related to employee recruitment or retention. The dashboard isn't about what you report as much as how you report it. In other words, it should communicate progress at a glance, be actionable and immediate. It should summarize metrics quickly in a way that makes sense to anyone that is reading it. It should be clear and concise and serve as a report card for your strategic plan and progress. Dashboards are often integrated into executive reporting methods. For example, you may have heard of the Monthly Business Review, or MBR for short, which is a process that tracks progress against the strategic and operating plan. It is also an opportunity to make sure the organization stays on track and implements adjustments to the plan when needed. MBRs are a good way to communicate corporate performance and provide clarity and commitment when used effectively. Generally, MBR reporting falls under the responsibility of the team in charge of a measurement or improvement process. However, a CEO often receives MBR data, so the report should be high level and concise. A MBR is reported during a standing meeting and follows a structured agenda to review performance, assess issues and opportunities, and make adjustments to the plan. Typically, MBRs are conducted on a monthly basis, after the close of a prior month. A disciplined approach is critical to successful development of an MBR. It needs to be ingrained into the culture of an organization as a standard method to monitor performance and to constructively address issues and opportunities. Whether you use a balanced scorecard, corporate-developed dashboard, MBR, or all of the above, the objective is to report progress on a regular basis to key stakeholders. Tracking and reporting measures is not just a best practice, it's a critical piece of your metric strategy. Simply put, if you don't regularly evaluate progress, you'll have no idea where you're going. The metrics you collect are valuable only if you use tracking methods to monitor outcomes and results. Think of reporting as the follow-through to your strategy and stick with it over time. You may have heard other common metrics mentioned in discussions related to corporate performance. Let's take a minute and review some of the most common measurement terms. First, let's define ROI. ROI is the abbreviation for return on investment and measures the investment cost associated with an effort in comparison to projected profits. Another important measure is the lifetime value of a customer, or LTV. LTV is the dollar amount associated with customers based on present and projected future cash flow. Have you heard of a customer acquisition cost? Abbreviated as CAC, it refers to the amount of money a business needs to spend to acquire an additional customer. You may have heard of lagging and leading indicators. Lagging indicators report results on revenue, expenses, cash flow, profit, and the return on investment. Leading indicators, on the other hand, are measures of internal systems and processes that lead to financial results. Churn rate is a common measure, too. This refers to the number of customers who leave a supplier during a given time period. It can indicate customer dissatisfaction, cheaper and/or better offers from the competition, more successful sales and/or marketing by the competition, or reasons having to do with the customer lifecycle. Now that you know more about metrics, let's talk about two companies that used measurement strategies to achieve real results. If you want to hear about a company that excels in performance metrics, Lockheed Martin Missiles and Fire Control is a good place to start. Winner of the 2012 Malcolm Baldrige National Quality Award, the company is known for excelling in performance and operational measures to improve processes and productivity. Lockheed Martin Missiles and Fire Control uses a 9-step strategic planning and execution system to develop strategic and tactical action plans using market and customer data. The strategic planning and execution system integrates metrics, work processes, and modeling to provide feedback for continuous learning. Overall, the process promotes long-term sustainability and accountability data for process improvement. And it has been a tremendous success. Supplier on-time delivery has been 100% since 2006, and overall supplier quality has been nearly 100% since 2007. Time reductions as a result of process and performance improvement across business units led to an estimated savings of $225 million annually. Other companies, like ShatterShield, use measurement strategies to jumpstart savings or promote revenue growth. ShatterShield is a 40-year-old company that manufactures packaging materials. The company first introduced a measurement strategy about 10 years ago. ShatterShield CEO at the time, Karen Ponce, felt strongly that the organization needed to adopt a formalized measurement strategy to assist with strategic planning. As CEO, Ponce believed it was her job to, quote, work on the business, not in the business. In 2005, the CEO and senior management team attended a training workshop where they learned about the balanced scorecard and KPIs. The company began developing KPIs and a balanced scorecard approach, and over the next 3 years, as Ponce explained, they, quote, started measuring things that were really important across the entire company, end quote. The organization continued to refine and expand KPIs and balanced scorecard to include 8 strategic objectives. In a short time, the organization realized benefits from becoming a measurement management business. For the first time in history, the organization tracked how many dollars they earned for every dollar spent in sales and marketing on a monthly basis. They also monitored cost per unit and identified opportunity for improvements. By 2010, the company netted more income than in the history of the company. Karen regularly shares her lessons learned regarding using KPIs and a balanced scorecard for success. As she said, executives get so caught up in the day-to-day running of the business that they don't work on the business. As president of the company, I should spend 80 to 90% of the time working on the business, and implementing a cascaded and aligned balanced scorecard strategic planning and management system is time well spent working on the business, because it gives clearer direction and guidance to those I entrust and empower to work in the business. There are an abundance of success stories among organizations that use and implement effective measurement strategies. Most companies agree the recipe for success includes planning, refinement, and ultimately, patience. Measurement strategies aren't implemented overnight. Collecting, planning, and analyzing data over time is critical to success. What does all of this mean in a nutshell? Joseph M. Duran, a well-known corporate management expert, summarizes it nicely by stating, "Without a standard, there is no logical basis for making a decision or taking action." There's a reason why organizations implement measurement strategies. It's because they work. They provide business and operational value and can improve the bottom line. When done correctly, a measurement strategy can yield significant payoff and translate into serious cost savings. Whether your goal is to attract new customers, grow sales, or increase your ROI, metrics can be the vehicle to get you there. Now think about what you would do if your CEO asked you to prepare a presentation on business trends and corporate performance. Hopefully, after this podcast, you could use a basic understanding of metrics and measurement strategies to develop a plan of attack and implement critical KPIs across your business. You could even explore balanced scorecard strategies and see if they can be applied to your company. You'd probably develop a dashboard or an MBR to help report ongoing results. Most importantly, you're armed with the knowledge that metrics and measurements can be the key to process improvement and corporate efficiency with a little effort and planning. So what are you waiting for? If you're hungry for change, metrics and measures should be your first course.
Thanks for listening to this podcast about metrics and measures. As always, keep on the lookout for future podcasts, each podcast covering a different topic to help your business grow. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to listen to others, please visit our website at 4imprint.com/bluepapers.